table as a body of believers encourages us unlike most anything else that we do as a body. It's doing something that we do best together. Coming together at the Lord's table is in some ways a lot like a really positive family reunion. Now, I say it that way on purpose because, you know, I've been a pastor for a long time. And I've heard people going to family reunions and they do so with regularity. But they're not always real positive. Usually, many times I've heard, I got to go to this because, you know, I'm grown. I have my own family, but my mom still expects me to show up. It's like, well, didn't your mom die 10 years ago? Yeah, but my mom would still expect me to be there. You know, those kinds of things that nobody really wants to go, but they have to go type of thing. Just not a great thing. But yet, on the other hand, I've known those people over the years of, our family reunion's coming. And we get together and we're going to have a big time and there's going to be a lot of food and we're going to play games and there's going to be a lot of food and we're going to laugh a lot and there'll be some more food, by the way, while we're at it. And it's just a wonderful time. Now, I come from a family that does not have family reunions. There are way too many preachers to try to have family reunions because nobody wants to give up the weekend and do that just to go get together, all of those kinds of things. And my uncles on my father's side, they all wanted us to have one. And he said, okay, you all take off a day of work so we can do that. And we're like, well, no, we'll just gather on the weekend because we're all free. He said, I'm not. And so, those of you who don't know, my dad's a pastor. And so, anyway, just wasn't a big deal, you know, those kinds of things. But when we come to church, to gather as a church, we get to come to a table together. It's a powerful thing. It's a wonderful thing. It is that family gathered that's wonderful, that's a blessing, that is fun, that encourages us, and I hope that it does today. In Matthew's gospel, in the 26th chapter, near the end of his gospel account, we find Jesus giving to us the Lord's Supper according to Matthew's version of it. And Matthew was there. So this is his firsthand account of it. Matthew 26, starting at verse 26, it says, "While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them and saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" When we come to the Lord's table, we are reminded that we are a family of faith. Good points and bad points. Wonderful things about us and the not so wonderful. But that we are a family or a faith, and we are reminded that we need one another. It's much easier to walk the journey of faith with somebody than by yourself. And it's much easier to walk the journey of faith with the family of faith that encourages us to do so and moves us along and helps us and is there to pat us on the back, that is there to encourage us, that is there to weep with us, that is there to rejoice with us. And so we find all of that together as a family of faith. And one of the elements that we find at the table is an element of association that we associate together. At the elements of the supper, we find the bread and the cup, and Jesus gives the bread to the disciples. And then he says that this is a cup for all of you. Again, a reference to the disciples. And so the element of the supper reminds us of our associations that we have. First of all, we have an association to the Savior. That's the reason we get to come to the table, is we have a Savior, Jesus Christ. And in that relationship with Jesus, he invites us to his table, to his meal, that we would be reminded of what he did for us in his body and in his blood. And so we are we have this association with the Savior that reminds us of His grace for us. His grace that He gives to us and wants to pour out in our lives. And that as a part of His grace, He will forgive us of our sins when we cry out to Him and we ask Him for the forgiveness of our sin. And that we are sinful. That He needed to go to the cross for us. He needed to be that sacrificial lamb slain at the cross on our behalf. And that as He did that in preparation before that, He gave us the supper that reminds us of what He did at the cross. We have the association of the saints, sisters and brothers in Christ, that we grow toward one another as we grow in the Lord. That as we grow in the Lord and we love the Lord, we are to love His people and we are to love His church. And it draws us together. Because Jesus' desire was for there to be unity among His followers. That there's to be a closeness, an intimate fellowship and relationship together as His children. Because we are His children and we belong to Him. So He desires that we draw together and we assemble together and we get to encourage one another and we help each other and we serve each other and we are not on this journey by ourselves, but we are fellow travelers on the journey together. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? Some of you have an aversion to doing most anything by yourself. You like for somebody to go with you. Some of you err on the other side and you just as soon do everything by yourself and not so much have somebody with you. But on the journey of faith and our relationship with the Lord, we do not have to go by ourselves. We are in a community of faith called the church. As we come to the table together, we are reminded of that association that we have. But also, we are reminded of the Spirit of God who draws us to the Lord and draws us to one another. As He draws us to the Lord, He convicts us of our sin. And that which separates us from God is He draws us to the Lord. He convicts us of our sin that put Jesus on a cross. Of our sin that made it necessary for Jesus to go to a cross. And He convicts us of that and of the sin that was there. But that if we will come to Him in repentance and confession of our sin, asking His forgiveness, that He will do that. And what a great blessing that is for us. And the Spirit also gives us counsel for the journey. And that is a wonderful thing that we receive from the Spirit that shows us the pattern that we are to live, how we are to live as we follow Jesus. That Jesus' life sets the pattern for us. But the Spirit leads us and prompts us in that way. But the nice thing is the Spirit is the one who is there to empower you to live that. To empower you to be able to live in that way. And how wonderful that is, how helpful it is. One of the most frustrating things in life can be is to be told this is what you're to do, but you don't know how and you're not sure you're able. Well, we are called to be followers of Christ, and the example of Christ in the Scriptures show us what we're to do. The Spirit empowers us and enables us to do that. Part of that journey process is learning to get out of the way so that the Spirit can really prompt us in how to do that and to be able to live in that way. It's difficult when somebody wants you to do something and then you're not quite sure you can do that. I was working on the car with my father one day as a young boy. My father has Knox hands. I have Moore hands. My mother's maiden name is Moore, M-O-O-R-E. And my features are much more like my grandfather Moore. So we're working on a car and we're trying to put a screw in the dash down by where it meets the window. Well, the characteristic of having Knox hands is that they're slender and the fingers are long. The characteristic of having Moore hands is this. They're not long and they're chubby. And my dad said, just do this. I'm like, my hand doesn't do that. not able to do that, Dad. You got to learn how to do that. Well, maybe, and I could probably do that a little better now as an adult than I could then, but nevertheless, you know, I mean, my father's rings that fit on this finger fit on my pinky. That just tells you something there. So it's frustrating when you're being told to do something and you're not able. I want you to know and to be encouraged today that we are called to live and follow Jesus in association with Jesus, and together the Spirit is the one who's there to empower you to live that. Jesus hasn't asked you to do something that He's not going to empower you to do through the Holy Spirit. We also make an affirmation at the table. We affirm the death of Jesus. We affirm the death of Jesus Christ for our sins, that Jesus died for us and for our sins, those of us who have placed our faith in Christ already. But we also make an affirmation that Jesus died for the sins of the world, that all who would believe in their heart and confess with their mouth would be saved, that everyone who will call upon the Lord will be saved. And Jesus has made provision for the salvation of everyone. He has paid the penalty for everyone's sins. But He expects everyone to come to Him through Him and believe in their heart and confess with their mouth. We affirm the death of sin. We affirm the death of sin. Jesus took care of that. While we live, we still sin. Sorry about that, but we still sin. But we are not conquered by sin. Sin doesn't have a victory in us. Jesus took care of that. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us that for every temptation we face, there is a way out of it. We don't have to buy into the temptation and go that way. And 1 John 1:9 tells us that when we do sin, that if we'll confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from our unrighteousness. And when we receive forgiveness, the guilt of our wrongdoing is removed. The guilt of our wrongdoing is removed when we receive His forgiveness. He takes away the guilt. He removes your guilt for your sin. Now, He removes your guilt. He may not remove the consequences for all of your sin. May not take away what might happen and what could happen because of your sin and the consequences. Those may not be removed. He can remove those, but it doesn't mean He will. King David is a great example. King David, as you know, committed adultery and then he committed murder, and the consequence was that his child died. His child died. David pleaded with God for that not to happen, but it happened. It was a consequence of his sin. God does not always remove the consequences of our sin, but He will forgive you and remove your guilt. But we also get to affirm one another. To affirm each other as sisters and brothers in Christ. That affirmation is good. That affirmation is encouraging. And so as we come to the table, we affirm our Lord and we affirm the death of sin, but we also get to affirm one another, to encourage each other to walk in the Lord and to follow the Lord, to challenge each other to live lives transformed by Jesus Christ that are different, distinct from the rest of the world in which we live, because Christ has changed us from the inside out and is making us different and is renewing us day by day so that we look like and act like Jesus and not the world in which we live, so that we are distinct from it, but we have a character transformed by Christ, and to affirm one another as we walk in that direction and move to be like Christ. But there's also anticipation at the table. It's anticipation at the table. Now, I'm going to tell you this. The best picture I know of anticipation is found in these students in this room who are still in school. And you Schaefer kids, be nice. You college students, be nice. Y'all are all done. But there's 4 days left. If you don't know, your kids are already out of school and you don't know, there's 4 left. Let me tell you. You don't believe me? Just stand around and listen for a few minutes after church. You'll hear it. There's 4 days left. They're going to be done. Anticipation. Summer's coming. Anticipation. I don't have to get up and go to class anymore. Anticipation. Dad won't be in the room saying, get up. It's time to get ready. Let's get up. Let's go to school. All those kinds of things. No more of that. And trust me, nobody in the room is more anticipatory than Mike. Because that means he's done. He won't have to go back to high school anymore. Now, about the middle of September, he may wish he was back. But he won't in June. But here's the anticipation of the text. Jesus promises to share this meal with us someday. Jesus promises to share this meal with us someday. Yesterday, I had a breakfast about 8 o'clock in the morning. And at Celine's birthday party, I had a little bit of food. But in anticipation of the arrival of our oldest child yesterday, and you may say we didn't know she was coming. Well, we didn't either until Friday. We decided we'd just have supper after she got home. Well, you know, and those of you who fly in and out of this city, there's always the danger that your plane's going to be late, either arriving or taking off, and usually both. So it was a long way from 8 in the morning to 8 at night when we finally got to have supper, but she was worth the wait. And the noise level at our table, oh my goodness, and the laughter at our table. Oh, but it was all so good. We anticipated getting to share that meal together. Jesus says, I'll not do this again until that day when I drink it new with you. If you know Jesus, one of these days you share this meal with Jesus. Boy, that gives us hope, doesn't it? Oh, we need hope. Some of you show up today needing a bit of hope. Oh, we need hope. Biblical hope provides a solid foundation for our faith. We get to share this meal with Jesus someday. It's going to be exquisite. It will be scrumptious. It will be wonderful. And It's hope to stay the course. It's hope to press on, to look forward to being with Jesus, to see Jesus, to encounter Jesus someday. It's all going to be worth it. Jesus says, I'll share this with you someday. As we come to the table, we associate with one another. A reminder, you are not on the journey by yourself. We are here together. We affirm the Lord's victory over sin and death and our transformation through Christ. And we anticipate being faithful on the journey until someday sharing this with Jesus. Let's prepare now to share it together. Let's bow our heads and our hearts before the Lord. And those of you who are serving the supper today, would you go ahead and come forward at this time?